Psalm 119, there's a few verses here. You know, the Lord showed me a few things here when I was doing my devotions, and I thought that it would be good that we would talk about this. Seeing how we have young men here, and, you know, this applies to a young man, a young woman. This applies really to anybody, this teaching can. But I saw some things in here that I believe are very important for a young man, a young woman, anyone really, their road to victory in the Christian life. And it looked like an outline to me of eight things that are being taught here to us in these verses. That so we start in Psalm 119, verse number 9. You've got this all recorded, Luke? Okay, good. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. So I want to show you some things here that I believe the Bible is teaching us as an outline. There's a question that is asked, and then I believe there's an answer that is given right after it. So I take this as to be an answer that is given right away for this question. The question is asked, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And he does answer it here, but there's more than one answer here. Okay, he's giving a number of answers here, and I believe he's giving eight answers here. From what I can count, what I've seen, there's eight answers here in this. And he says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? The first way for the young man is to take heed. The Bible tells us over and over again to take heed. And if you're a young person here, you need to pay attention very closely. Pay attention with your life now. Pay attention to these things now. Take heed means to pay attention. You know, the Bible lists, it gives that command to take heed a number of times. 55 times, to be exact, it tells us to take heed. Take heed to yourselves, the Bible says. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. So you're to take heed with yourself. You know, that's for you as a young person. You ought to take heed. You better pay attention. It means you better pay attention. Don't let the fact that you come to this church, don't let the fact that you sit underneath this preaching and that your parents go to church here, don't let that be an excuse for you not to pay attention and take heed to the word of God and take heed to your Christian life now. Start working on it now and having a relationship with Christ now. You start building on that relationship now, but you take heed. Right? You pay attention. You take heed. So many people are completely distracted today. Very easily distracted. And it's what it really comes down to is not being sober-minded. They're not sober-minded. They're not paying attention. And with our children here in this room, I want you to pay attention. I want you to take heed. As young people, you need to start forming. You're forming now the direction of your life. You are forming now that direction. You better take heed to how you do it. Pay attention. Take heed. It's important that you do. That word heed means to regard with care, to take notice of. To pay attention to is what it means. It means great caution and care. You know, as young people, the thing you have to remember, it's easy for you to be distracted. Now, it's easy for all of us to be distracted, but it's easy for young people to be distracted from the Word of God. To be distracted even at church. To be distracted in the things of God. Got to be careful about that. In other words, he says to take heed. What does he say to take heed to? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So I'm to pay attention according to God's word. The way God's word says I'm to pay attention, I'm to be alert, and I'm to be focused on what God has for me in my life. You are to take heed unto God's word. That's where your thoughts need to be. That's where your direction needs to be. That's where your instruction needs to come from. That's where the principles of your life are to come from. From this book. Right? That's where they're to come from. And you better get that straight now in your heart. You better get it straight in your heart today that God's word is what you're to follow. Because if that principle's not etched in stone, then you're going to be wandering. As soon as you have the opportunity to be wandering, you're going to wander. You just will. That's right. Easy. Easy to do. So you got to take heed. You got to pay attention to it now. That's how a man cleanses his way, right? That's one way. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The Bible talks about the word washing us, right? It says the husband is to wash his wife in what? In the word. So your own self. Right? Your own self. Some of you, I wonder, what's your day look like? I'm talking about big boys and big girls here too. What's your day look like? What are you taking heed to? You filling your life up with non-sober things and silly things? We got to be careful. Our children should have some fun. I'm not saying that that recreation is not good, but you know what? When recreation is the way of life and not just you know, an extra thing that you're doing or a break from things for a while, but when it's like everything, I think the first of the year is a good time to reset some things. It's a good time to reset some things. You say, I don't believe in resolutions. Okay, well then obey God all year. Then you don't have to worry about it. But until then, get real with yourself and realize that it's a good time to reset some things. Because it just is. So, what's your day like? Are you filling it up with sobriety or with foolishness? Some people, they fill their day up with just games and nonsense. And they're not focused. I'm going to tell you what, that lack of sobriety is going to catch up to you. If you're living your life with a lack of sobriety, if you're living your life like that, it's going to catch up to you. It dulls the senses. It dulls your senses. That's why it's important for children to have structure. And their structure needs to be around the Word of God. Take heed, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. According to the word. I'm paying attention to it. I'm taking heed to it. Are you? Is there more Facebook than God's book? Is there more YouTube than God's word? Is there more games, video games? Is there more other games? Is there more other secular reading and everything else other than God's word? More distractions? And then you wonder why you can't be sober? Or your children can't be sober? We have to structure them. We have to. They don't do that on their own. Amen. We have to do that. We have to give them that, but they need to pay attention. We ought to teach them to pay attention to God's word. We ought to teach them that. Okay, so he says, number one, he says to take heed thereto according to thy word, right? What's the second thing? It's in verse 10. He says, with my whole heart. With my whole heart have I sought thee. With my whole heart. Now, listen, here's 13 times, whole heart. 13 times. That, what does that mean? It means that I am not double-minded. I'm not a double-minded man, unstable in all my ways. I'm not half-hearted. But I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Like, kind of like we're talking about, bless the Lord, O my soul. In Psalm 103, verse 1. When we're dealing with that, it's the same thing, that my heart is, my whole heart have I sought thee. That praise ought to be with our whole heart. Praise you, the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Psalm 111, verse 1. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Means you're not double-minded, but you're single. Single-minded. Singleness of eye, right? That you have one goal in mind. And that is to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Now in your youth that you would seek the Lord, right? In your youth. This is the time. This is the time to seek the Lord. When you are young. First Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. That's what God wants from his children. If you want to cleanse your ways, how do I cleanse my ways as a young man, a young woman, a Christian? How do I cleanse my ways? I seek the Lord with my whole heart. My heart is not divided. I don't have one desire to be in the world and one desire to be in the church. I don't have one desire. You know what? I've seen that before, and you'll always choose the world. Let me say that again to you. When you have one foot in the church and one foot in the world, you're always going to choose the world. Always. You can't stay. You can't do that forever. We've watched it. You've seen it. You've seen people here that have been here before that are gone now. Why? They had one foot in and one foot out. And what'd they do? They eventually took the other foot and left. Why? Because it was easier. You got to seek the Lord. If you want to cleanse your ways, you got to seek the Lord with your whole heart. You have to. You know, if you don't, look what he says here, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. If you don't seek the Lord with your whole heart, you will wander. You will wander. You will. Why? Because you don't have singleness of mind. And you're going to drift away. You can't cleanse your ways like that. No, you got to have your whole heart determined. I am fixed, O God. I am fixed. I will sing and give praise. It's a fixed heart. It's a heart that is seeking the Lord. Let me not wander from thy commandments. It's the whole heart seeking God and not wandering from his commandments. One will happen or the other. If the whole heart seeks him, you won't wander. If you don't, then you will most definitely wander. There is no in between in the Christian life. There isn't this intermediate area. It doesn't work that way. Eventually, you will come to one or two places. You will either wander away from God, or you will seek him with your whole heart. But you cannot do both. It doesn't work. A house divided cannot stand. It just doesn't. So a young man, if he's going to cleanse his ways, he's going to, number one, take heed. Number two, he's going to, with his whole heart, seek the Lord, that he not wander from his commandments. Number three, he's going to do what verse number 11 says. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You want to know one of the greatest ways to cleanse your ways and to keep from sin and evil is to hide God's word in your heart. Now you could preach messages on that. How does one hide the word in his heart? Well, you, number one, you memorize it. Well, number one, you read it. You got to read it. That's how you hide his word in your heart. Number two, you memorize it. You memorize it so it's readily available to you. And number three, you meditate on it. You chew on it. That's what you do. That's how you hide God's word in your heart. But there's a purpose for that. If I'm going to cleanse my ways, I have got to take that word that I've sought the Lord with my whole heart. I've taken heed to his word, I've sought it, and I've hid it in my heart. And why is that? Because the heart is meant to be filled. It is not meant to be empty. God made your heart to be filled. So it'll either be filled with him or you. But it cannot be both. It cannot be both. So thy word have I hid in mine heart. God made your heart to be filled, so you either will fill it with his word or your words. So how do I know which? Well, what comes out of it? What comes out of your heart? His words or your words or the world's? Does more of you come out of you or more of him come out of you? That'll tell you what you're hiding in your heart. If you're hiding his word in your heart, then more of him will come out. Because whatsoever is in the heart cometh out. The heart is the seat of all the affections and emotions. It's who you are. So if I want from my heart, everything flows from, for out of the heart of a man proceedeth, what's the first thing? Evil thoughts. So what do I, that's, and Jesus is talking about the natural depravity of man. All these things come out of the heart to defile a man. Right? So what's his answer is that thy word have I hid in mine heart. I'm going to take God's word and I'm going to hide it in my heart if I'm going to cleanse my ways. I'm going to hide it. Doesn't mean that it's going to be hid not to share. No. It's hid because whatever you put in your heart like that, it's going to come out. If sin, wickedness, vileness is lodged in your heart, if rebellion is lodged in your heart, if wickedness is lodged in your heart, guess what's going to eventually come out no matter how hard you try to keep it in? All of those things. Amen. All those things. So then, if I hide God's word in my heart, that's what's going to come out. That's the difference. Now, there's a purpose for him. He's talking about cleansing his ways. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The purpose of hiding God's word in your heart is so you don't sin against him. That's the purpose. That's why. That's your goal, that you don't sin against God. It's a matter of sanctification. So then, if I don't hide God's word in my heart, even if I'm a saved man, if I don't hide God's word in my heart, then I'm not going to live that sanctified life. No, you're going to be defiled, because you're not hiding his word in your heart. I wonder if you ladies understand the importance of you hiding God's word in your heart. Do you think that because you're not husbands or you're not fathers that God expects less from you? Do you think because you're a wife or a single person or a mother or that God expects less from you? He doesn't. He doesn't expect less from you. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You've got to hide God's word in your heart. I hope that you ladies understand that God expects you to be strong Christian women so that you are able to better equip your husbands for what God would have them to do, and your children. The stronger of a Christian you are, the better your husband is. I'm going to say that again to you. The stronger of a Christian that you are, the better your husband will be. Absolutely, without a doubt. And that there isn't any excuse for you why you can't do that. And God expects that from you. So he says that, David says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. He's saying, I'm going to hide it in my heart because I don't want to sin against God. So if I do this, it'll help. It'll prevent me from sinning. It's there, and it's good. Why? Because when you hide something in your heart like that, God's going to deal with that. God's going to bring that to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit's going to bring that Bible verse to your remembrance. In what cases? Well, in times of temptation. In times of temptation, God's going to bring that verse to your mind. In times of despair, God's going to bring that verse to your mind. In times of afflictions, in trials, in tribulations, whatever, in sickness, whatever it may be, if you hide God's word in your heart, then guess what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit is going to bring that to your remembrance. But you have to hide it in your heart. You've got to do that. It's not going to happen unless you do it. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. If I have God's word there, then what comes out of me is God's word. And whatever it is that I'm faced with, God's word is my rule. It's what I follow no matter what. It's how I respond no matter what is biblically. That's what that means. It means I respond biblically. I live my life biblically. So then, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart. So, number one, we take heed to his word. Number two, with our whole heart, we seek him. that we not wander from his way, from his commandments. Number three, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Number four is found in verse number 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Number four is a teachable spirit. As a young man, as a young person, a young girl, whatever it is, as a young Christian, you've got to have a teachable spirit. David was praying, teach me thy statutes. That means that young people, one of the greatest downfalls of a young person that will find you in a lot of trouble is when you're not humble and nobody can teach you anything because you already know everything and you've already got some pat answer for it and you're not willing to learn anything. Now, you might be here and you might be an old man and be the same way. If a preacher that's younger than you might tell you something and show you something from God's word, and you don't want to submit to it because you think you know it all. You think you got it all figured out already. That's right. Tell him, sister. Man. Just kidding, Sophie. Shh. What do you do? She's 12 months old, or 18 months, right? 16. Well, then she's in trouble. Anyway, but what do you... You know, you got to have a teachable spirit. You got to be able to learn. You got to be able to submit yourself and have that right spirit. Some of you young mothers and young ladies need to have a teachable spirit. You know, one of the problems is I think some of you don't want to make yourselves vulnerable around other people because you're too proud to admit that you don't know what you're doing. Amen. Boy, not quiet in here. Whew. I like it when it gets quiet. That means you're thinking. Either that or you're mad. Either way, that's okay. But you know what? It's having the right spirit, having a teachable spirit, being willing to be like, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to deal with this. Instead, you just kind of pull your hair out like, oh, I don't want to tell anybody. I don't want anybody to know I don't know what I'm doing. We already know that. It's okay. We already know. Right? Or even young men. Sometimes you make foolish decisions, already make the decision, and then you tell somebody, well, I did this. Well, why didn't you ask about that? Well, I don't have to ask everybody. You're right. You don't have to. You don't need anybody's permission, but you might want somebody's advice. Amen. I'm going to say that again to you. You don't need anybody's permission, but you might want somebody's advice. Amen. Well, I can do it myself. Well, you might be able to, but you might want somebody's advice about it before you do make a mistake that costs you a lot of money. Right? Or worse. There's worse things that you can get that can cost you than money. A lot worse. Yeah, pain and suffering. And it don't go away no matter how much money you have. So and that's just, you know, all of us have to be that way. Have a teachable spirit. But if you notice this, that's how a young man cleanses his ways. It's how any Christian will cleanse his ways, is by having that teachable spirit. And praying, Lord, teach me. And you know what? God's going to teach you directly, but he's also going to use others to teach you. He's going to use other people to teach you. That's how the Lord does. That's right. That's how he works. So don't be afraid of that. You know, pride will get you in a lot of trouble. Cost you a lot. More than you want to pay. Well, I don't want to be scrutinized too. I don't want this. Or I don't want anybody being too critical of me. Well, I understand that, but that doesn't change the fact that you still, if you don't know what you're doing, you don't know what you're doing. Right? Amen. You have to get over your pride. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's pride. Boy, it's quiet, man. This sure beats Keach's catechism this week. Man, I'm telling you. That's his only point number four. Seems like that was needed today, brother. Well, what's that? There is a lot there. That's right. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. So it's having a teachable spirit. That's very important. Very important to have that. It'll help you in life, actually. You know, as especially as young people, you know, the worst thing you can say to somebody older, some of you young men, young boys, and I'm not talking about, I'm talking about boys that are underage, and even some of you that are a little bit older, just remember, don't tell your parents, oh, I know that already. That's disrespectful. It's disrespectful. Just listen to it. You can listen to it. Right? And then us that do help others, we need to have the right spirit when we teach them. And not blow them out of the water, not embarrass them, not make them feel dumb, right? That's important too. That when you teach people, that you teach them with meekness, right? So then they don't get embarrassed for no reason, or for, you know, the fact that you're not treating them correctly. So I think that's important. Have that teachable spirit. It says here in the next verse, number five, that I notice here, with my lips I've declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I would say right things from your lips is important. If a young man's going to cleanse his ways, I would tell you, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. I would say this. Obviously, for all of us, our mouths get us into a lot of trouble. I mean, a lot of trouble. Sometimes it's better if we just don't say anything at all. When in doubt, shut up. Right? You'll go a long way by just not saying anything. Right? Just letting it go and not saying anything. You know, sometimes we want to say something and it may not be the right time. But it's important for a young man especially to be careful what they say. Careful with your mouth. Young people in general, be very careful what you say. Let wisdom and age speak first. If you notice in the book of Job, that's what happened. The young man waited until the end to speak. If you're not sure when the end is, then don't say anything at all. But they did. You notice Eliu, he waited all the way to the end, didn't he? I think it's his name, wasn't it, Eliu? Yeah. He waited all the way to the end. He said, I would let wisdom and age speak first. I didn't want to say anything. And actually, he didn't get rebuked for his words. Yeah, he waited all the way to the end. And he didn't charge Job foolishly either. But he waited, okay? And I think this is a good principle here. He says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. So David was careful with what he said. He said his words. He's be very careful. David would talk in different times in the scriptures. He would say that in front of other men, he would just keep his mouth shut. He just guarded his speech. The Bible talks about the tongue, right? It says it's a world of iniquity. A world of iniquity. The tongue. Think about that. There's Yeah. Right. Let's read that. Turn to James chapter 1. Or James chapter 3, excuse me. Verse number 2, for in many things we offend all. Boy, that's for sure. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. And behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth it on fire, the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell. Tongues of hell. Think about that for a second. Our tongues. They start wars, that's right. They sure do. We're kind of seeing that now, aren't we? Even in the you got the President of the United States and you got these other, and they're warring back and forth, right? But they do in families too. A lot of things have been said that didn't need to be said. Suffer and reproach and just suffer it. So with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. So make sure that your lips speak the word of God. Make sure your lips speak right judgment. It's righteousness in judgment. God's judgments. Sometimes we judge matters and we're not very wise. But if we have God's judgment, we'll be wise. Amen? So be careful about that. Let's see, the next one. Number 6. I have rejoiced, verse number 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Rejoiced in his testimonies. Think about that. In the way of thy testimonies. So, rejoicing in the things of God more than in riches. What makes you happy? What brings joy to your heart? Is it more worldly things or is it God's things? Learn to rejoice in the things of the Lord. Learn to rejoice in all the blessings of God more so, and in who God is, more so than rejoicing in riches. When you're young, here's the thing. When you're young too, you look at the future and you're ready, right? You're ready to take on the world and you're ready to go make some money, get a career and do all these things, right? Well, the warning here in the scriptures is this, is I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. My heart has been rejoicing in the word of God and the things of God more so than all those riches that are in the world, all the things that I can have and acquire in my life and everything else. I'm going to rejoice in God. I'm going to rejoice in his testimonies. It's a principle that David lived by here. Remember the question being asked, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? This is how. He said, I rejoice in thy testimonies as much as in all riches. They're important. God's testimonies were important to him. They're very important to him. I mean, even before David, there was a long time where David wasn't a king, and he was a poor man. He was anointed king, and it literally took, I believe it was maybe 15 years I think he was about 15, 16 when he was anointed king. He died at 70, I believe. Right? He was 70. Yeah. He was between 70 and 80. He was 16 years old, I believe, when he was anointed king. Anointed. He wasn't crowned the king. He was anointed to be king. And he spent 14 years in Saul's house. He spent some time in Saul's house, and then he spent many years on the run. And it wasn't until he was about 30 years old and he reigned 40 years. So he spent a lot of years waiting. But he rejoiced in the way of God's testimonies before he ever had a dime to his name. He rejoiced in the Lord. He rejoiced in the Word of God. And that's what you need to remember in what you do in this life and career-wise, your future, whatever it is. You ought to rejoice in the Lord and His testimonies. You ought to be rejoicing in those things. That ought to move your heart more than any riches or anything of this world. All right. Next, number 7. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How does a man cleanse his way, young man? Verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts. Meditation. You want me to tell you, well, men in general, women too, by the way, but let's talk about men in general and young men in general as well. What you think in your heart on is what you will be. So if you are thinking on things that are not right, you're going to do those things that are not right. That's just the way it is. If you think, oh, I can lust, I can think on these things, I can lust, I can have lustful, wicked thoughts, I can do that, and I can meditate on those things, and I'm going to be just fine. Oh, no, you're not. I don't care how old you are, your thought process, what you think on and what you meditate on matters. What happened to the prodigal? The first sermon I preached on that. Steps that led him far from home. Where did it all start? Right, in his heart. In his mind and his heart. He thought about leaving his father's house. He thought about going off into the world. He thought about living riotously. He thought about running. Now, he never thought he'd get that far. Never thought he'd get that bad. But his thoughts. And a young man, the thing that you have to fight the most is your thoughts. You got to fight your thoughts. It's the Bible deals a lot with the imaginations. That's why it says that's your thought process, is your imagination. What you start imagining in your life or in your mind. 20 times that word imaginations is used. 20 times. God says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It means that God knows what you're imagining in your life. Think about that word imagine. They're images that you are building in your mind. So you're actually, in your heart, you're building an image of something. So, well, of course, you wouldn't make a graven image with your hands. You do it with your heart. I'm going to say that again to you. You wouldn't make a graven image with your hand. You're not like those idolatrous Israelites. You just make one with your heart. Right? Come on. It's with your heart. You imagine it in your heart. And you build up a false image in your heart. Look at this. Deuteronomy 29:19. And it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace though I walk in the imagination of mine heart. To add drunkenness to thirst. I walk in the imagination. I shall have peace though I walk in the imagination of my heart. You won't have peace. You want to have peace walking in the imagination of your heart. You got to cast down imaginations in every high thing. What does that mean, to cast down imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God? What does that mean? It means anything that God says I'm not to have, anything that is contrary to Christ, gone. Cast it down. Can't think about it. Can't meditate on it. Can't image it. Can't image it in my mind. Can't dwell on the image of it in my mind. Because it's literally beamed into your mind through your conscience. You're beaming it into your mind. And then maybe it came from Satan. Who knows where the fiery darts came from? Doesn't matter. It's there. What matters is what you do with it. Here's a trap of the devil. Where'd that come from? Well, you're still thinking about it. So stop it. It doesn't matter where it came. Where'd that come from? How could that such a wicked thing come from in my mind? How could it be there? But God doesn't want you to do that. No. I've said this before. Let me share something with you that I think I've said it before, but I'll say it again to you. Sometimes in your life, when you go through traumatic experiences or things like that, you can have the most awful, blasphemous, wicked, vile, putrid things go through your mind. And you're like, and it scares you. I mean, it literally terrifies you that you can have that. I've been there. I've been there. Oh, I thank God I'm not there right now, but I've been there. And I've had it be so dark and so twisted and so wicked and so vile. And I'm like, and you shudder at it when you think about it. Well, don't think about it. That's the trap of the devil. Okay? Just cast it down. Okay? Don't think about it. And don't wonder where it came from. Chalk it up to two things. The heart is desperately wicked. Who could know it? And then answer it with the next one. The Holy Ghost knows it, and he told me to cast it down. And that's it. Did it come from Satan? Doesn't matter. Well, maybe I should figure it out. No, you shouldn't. You'll never figure it out. Cast it down. And move your thoughts to something else. But I have to figure it out because it's so... No, you don't. Kill it. That's right. Slay it. Slay it with the sword. The sword. Slay it. And move on. But it's so terrible. Yeah, I know. I know. It's the worst thing I've ever thought in my life. I know. Slay it. I know all those things, and so does God. That's why he told us. He told us that's all there. God's got it covered. There ain't no thought that you've had that ain't been covered by this book right here. Ain't that good English? Joe is, right? It's there. Yeah, but you don't understand. Oh, yes, I do. And if I don't understand, God does. And he already said it right here. Look, he already said your tongue is set on is a world of iniquity. And it's set on the fires of hell. So God knows that what went from there to right there is as wicked as hell. He already said it. So you don't need to figure it out.
You just need to cast it down. You don't need to figure anything out. You ain't smart enough to figure it out anyway. The devil will twist you up in knots like you wouldn't believe. He will twist you in knots when you're trying to do that. You quit doing that and you obey this book and you cast those thoughts down. Hey, man. I thought I'd be nicer sitting down. I kind of like it. Cast them down. Don't. Your thoughts can get away from you very quickly. That's why you have to command your thoughts. And how do I do that? It's what I meditate on. Do you know that when you're trying to figure out where that came from, you're actually meditating on it? You're chewing it. You're chewing the evil thoughts in your mind's going, oh man, that's bad. And then you're chewing it. You got to spit it out. That's right. You're chewing the thoughts up. You're doing the opposite of what God said, and you're being tricked into doing it. You're being tricked. You think you're trying for a noble cause. I don't know why I'm still on this, but I am. So I'm just going to keep going. I didn't plan this, but that's okay. You're chewing that up, right? And God said, no, cast it down. You're doing the opposite of what God said because you're being tricked into doing it. And you're being deceived. When simple obedience is what God wants, cast it down and move on. What do I move on to? I move on to this. It's what I meditate on. I will meditate in thy precepts. Where have we heard that before? Well, remember our series, Psalm 1? You don't remember our series, Psalm 1? Nobody answered me. At least Andrew remembers it. Did you say that, or was it you, Luke? Luke, I knew I liked you. Everybody else forgot but you, Luke. Thanks. Thanks, Luke. And the women probably remember too, but they don't talk in church, so good for them. At least they remembered. Their silence was golden. Yours wasn't, Dave. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's what he does. We talked about this morning, actually, meditation, as a way for what? Not to forget God's precepts, not to forget all God's benefits. Yep. Yeah, let's go there. Do it out of thy mouth. Dave's got it memorized. Look, you don't get the cookie or the fudge. I ate all that. It's all gone. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I think I called that the real prosperity gospel, didn't I? I did. What's that? Is that right? Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. So, in other words, let me get back to Psalm 119 here. Boy, this is kind of nice. I like this. This is fun to teach out of this one. I got all my notes in here. It's great. Can you see that, Rachel? You look like you're squinting at me here. So let me hold that up. Here you go. I haven't seen Rachel so long, so I got to give her a little bit of a hard time. Seems like it's been forever. Right, Rachel? How long has it been? A couple weeks? She let your wife come to church more. What's the matter with you anyway? We'll get you on the next point, Brother Andrew. All right. But meditation. Meditate therein. Young man, young woman, Christian. Doesn't matter who you are, really. It'll apply to all of us. What you meditate on is where your heart's going to be. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's not just dealing with money or putting your money in the Lord, or that's dealing with your thoughts, your mind, your heart, your affections. Set your affections on things above. That's right. So how do I do that? It's what I meditate on.
Look, the mind is the battlefield. It is the battlefield of the Christian life. It's the mind. If Satan can defeat a man in his mind, he can have all the strength in the world. But if that man or woman is defeated, if their spirit is wounded so bad, if they are so defeated and down, right? Then who can bear, the Bible says, a wounded spirit? If he can get you so wounded that you won't fight anymore, that you give up, that's why you got to meditate. That's why you got to meditate in God's precepts. Notice number 8, it says here, and we're done. Actually, no, we're not. I think there's 9. Oh, I have 10! I thought I had 8. I have 10! I just saw more over here. I forgot I put that in there. Sorry, guys. I shouldn't be sorry about giving you more. Yeah, it is false advertisement. There's actually 10 of them. There's more, Jacob. But wait, there's more! Here we go. Number 8. That's right, these are bonuses. And have respect unto thy ways. You know, to respect God's ways, what does that mean? It means I fear them and I put them first. The fear of the Lord, right? Respect and fear. Those are two very, very similar words, aren't they? And what do they tell us? When you respect someone, it means you have some healthy fear, right? I mean, I respect them, right? I respect that. People have earned your respect. Right? Some of you want respect, but you haven't earned it. Now, there's a decency that is given to all men, and charity and love and loving kindness. But respect for any man is earned. It is earned. It's not going to automatically be given you. You young men that go off into the workforce and that go off and do something, people aren't going to treat you like you're an experienced man, and they're not going to give you the same respect that they give everybody else. You're going to earn it. You're going to earn it through hard knocks. You're going to earn it through, you know what? You're going to earn it through working the extra hours. You're going to take the late shift. You're going to show that you're reliable. You're going to show that you're a hard worker, and then you're going to earn that respect from people, right? It's not automatically given to you. You earn it. You have to. Like as a doctor, you're going to earn the respect of your patients as time goes by. Just because you have that doctor on there doesn't mean they're going to trust you and respect you. They're going to respect you from your results and your work ethic. And they learn to respect you. So pastors the same way. People learn to respect them. There's a general respect for the office, but people learn to respect them. You know when their respect grows? Through trials. Through going through things, through heartache, through pain, through faithfulness through the years, then people are like, that's why David, when he was out in the middle of nowhere and all of Israel turned on him, there was that core group around him that didn't. Why? Because they went through all the wars with him, like, we're not about to leave. We're not about to walk away. No, we've been with him through all these wars. We're not leaving. Right? By the way, that's why you see with some pastors when that older pastor is there that started that church, that founded that church, that fought wars with all those people. They got saved and converted under his ministry. They have that respect for that man. When the younger man comes along, a lot of times they don't. Why? They didn't fight with him. They weren't in the trenches. That guy didn't earn their respect. He wasn't in the trenches with them. He didn't go through the battles that they went through. He didn't fight the wars that they fought. You see what I mean? That's just, it's common. It's very common. That a guy comes over and he takes the church over and it's not that way. Why? Because they didn't go through that with him. They didn't go through all that stuff and fight those wars and be through all that stuff. That's why you learn to give people that you have been through things with, you give them the benefit of the doubt. When everybody wants to turn against you, like, I don't know about that. I don't think so. I don't believe that. That's got to be proven to me. I ain't going to believe that. Right? But there's some respect there. It's respecting the Lord and his ways. And have respect unto thy ways.
You know what else that means? That means when God does something you don't like, you still respect and honor and revere him. When God says no. When God changes your plans. That we still respect his ways. There's going to come a time in your Christian life when God tells you no. And he just, nope. Moses had it. Moses asked God three times, Lord, let me go into that promised land. Speak no more of this to me. Nope. Done. No more. God says, nope, no more. Yep. Paul, the same way, he besought the Lord thrice. Lord, just take this thorn away from me. Take this away. I can't take this anymore. Not taking it away. My grace is sufficient for thee. I'm not taking it away. When David besought the Lord for his child, God said no. But we respect his ways. We respect him. Yeah. And next, number nine, we delight in his word. I will delight myself in thy statutes. That word delight is an important word. Remember Psalm 1? What'd that tell us in Psalm 1? That meditation and delight were together, weren't they? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Delight thyself. There's another verse. That's right. 51 times, Jacob, that word is. It is. Delight thy, Psalm 37, 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Some of you young folks have desires. Some of you single, some of you young folks, you have desires for the future. Nothing wrong with that. But you're to delight yourself also in the Lord. And if you haven't gotten that far yet, don't wonder why God hasn't given you what you want. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Jesus said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. David said, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Psalm 119:24. We're not going to get to that today at all, of course, but the verse is, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The word of God is your chief counselor through the Holy Ghost. It's your chief counselor. It should be. Maybe it's not yours, but it ought to be. Thy testimony, it could be your passions that are your chief counselor. It could be your passions, your anger, your temper, your lust. Your desires could be your chief counselors. But the Bible says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. and his counselors, his delight.
David said, and I will, he said it over and over again in Psalm 119. He said it a lot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wouldn't you know it? 7 times. 7 times he said, delight. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. David said, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. That's a good sermon.
Fat hearts.
Greasy hearts.
Leave it to a preacher. They can think of all kinds of titles.
Greasy fat hearts.
There's got to be a Puritan sermon somewhere that's called that.
Greasy fat hearts.
Got to be somewhere. Got to be, right? I'm gonna check. There's got to be.
Yeah, that'd be one to preach all the way through. I've got some really good books on that, too. Delight. So the delight, right? I will delight myself in thy statutes. That's number 9. That needs to be the delight of your life. What's that word mean? Let's give you the definition of that word just in case you right? A high degree of pleasure. That means his pleasure is satisfaction. His great pleasure. His pleasure. That was Jesus. That was his pleasure to obey his Father. That was his pleasure. That's what God says for us. Number 10. He says here to finish, I will not forget thy word. He made it. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. What does he say? I will not forget thy word. I'm not going to forget it. We talked about that today, how not to forget it. But he says that he made that declaration. He made that decision. I'm not going to forget thy word. You and I need to put a lot more of our emphasis on the word of God in our lives. To help it direct our path. You can't expect to cleanse your way without following even these 10 steps. Because they're all lined up for you right there. He's explaining to you how. Now, the basis of the entire discourse is this. By taking heed thereto according to thy word, then he tells you how you take heed to it. Then he goes through and he explains it. You take heed with your whole heart. That you don't wander. And you hide his word. That's how you take heed to it. You hide his word that you might not sin against him. You have a teachable spirit. You declare right things with your mouth. You rejoice in his testimonies. You meditate in his precepts. You have respect unto his ways. You delight yourself in his word, in his statutes. And you do not forget his word. That's how you take heed thereto according to thy word. That's how a young man cleanses his ways. And that is the definition of taking heed to his word. Those 10 things. Good things to work on. Good things to meditate on. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word, how good it is to us, Lord. I pray we delight in it. Thank you for teaching it to us, Lord. Thank you for guiding us with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for just showing us, breaking it down, making it so simple for us that we can understand it. And even our children, our little ones, can understand it. May they all come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the only way, the truth, and the life. Help us, I pray. Thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.